This is a Dice World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Well, hello there. I'm Andrew from Pants Pending Studios, and I want to share with you from the good book of never-ending random discussion.
Again, I trust you are putting your valuables in the center of your living rooms as previously instructed. Good Lord, I hope that's previously instructed.
The never-ending random discussion is a collection of funny and interesting people sitting down to be random.
Why is she naked?
Those eyes are so piercing.
It's...
I forgot that she had tiny little animal eyes, like beady little black eyes. Oh dear God.
Why is she... Why is she covered in frosting? That's weird. Good. That's like a cake thing. That's not for donuts.
It's your favorite flavor.
Anything can happen, and anything does happen. Not that I'm sexist, but kitchens need to stay in women. I went with it.
Kitchens need to stay in women. That's Andrew Reisenhuber 2016.
Find the show at celebrategeek.com/nerd. Tune in and thank me later. Pants pending.
Hello, my gentle snowflakes. This is Deese. You know me as host of The Social Hour. But now, you can find me every Tuesday hosting the brand new Drink and Debate podcast. The Drink and Debate is an improv comedy competition in which four teams of comedians from all over the Pacific Northwest face off for beer, glory, and the title of Master Debaters. Wait, what? For beer, glory, as they master debating. Shit. Master to debater. It still sounds like I'm saying masturbate. Master to... Son of a bitch. Screw it, we're doing it live. As comedians debate some things. So join us on the Drink and Debate podcast. Every Tuesday, you can find us on socialhourpod.com or on iTunes. And find the Drink and Debate live shows every month at the Spokane Comedy Club, hosted by myself and comedian Nick Cavassier. Go to SpokaneComedyClub.com for all the details. We'll see you there.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
That's the law. You have to. If you kill the bear, you have to fuck its mate. Even if you kill the female, you have to gay bear sex with the male.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, comedian Mark Morris and Jay Mitz on the news, I'm producer Travis Swartow, and now your host, back from Belize and unable to talk about it due to international treaties, Deez Casillas.
My love, Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am your host, Deez Casillas. Thank you for joining us for another fantastic episode. I am back, disease-free. Didn't catch the Zika or anything. Well, I mean, no new diseases. Still have all the old viruses and things like that. We are here joined in studio, Jay, as always, lovely Jay Mitz. Thank you, Jay. How are you?
Doing so good. Good to see you made it back with your head not cut off.
I did make it back. No head cut off. Traz will be joining us shortly. He is just running a tad late. We're a little bit of a time crunch tonight. The three of us in the studio. Oh, also Mark Morris, comedian Mark Morris in the studio. How you doing, Mark?
I am here.
You are here. That is factually accurate. We all have shows we have to go to tonight and perform at, so we are in a little bit of a time crunch. You're going to get a truncated episode. Like I said, I made it back from Belize. It was a great time. I'm going to tell y'all about it over the next couple weeks, but we're not going to get deep into the weeds today because of the time crunch. But I will tell you it was exciting. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of adventures. One of the most interesting things was about 3 days into my trip, my phone crapped out, literally stopped working. So I had no access to internet or a phone or research or contacting anyone. So it made it very interesting to navigate a foreign country. Like, I didn't even know what time my flight left on the day it was leaving. I'm like, how do you call American Airlines when you're on an island off the coast of Belize and don't know anyone?
So I'm old. I would suggest a landline.
Yeah, good luck finding that on this island in Belize. They'd hand you a coconut, like, attached to just a small monkey.
Worked on Gilligan's Island, dude.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So I just drank and enjoyed my time. It was very very beautiful place. The people were very welcoming. I did my usual. I just show up and figure it out from there, and it all worked out just swimmingly.
So you didn't have like an itinerary at all. You just got there and you're like,
absolutely, yeah. I 100%. I had my flight booked in, my flight booked out, and beyond that, I had nothing. Booked, like, not even a place to stay.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Shit.
No, I don't. I didn't.
The flight booked in and a cab ride to the nearest bar. And yeah.
No, I mean, I didn't even know exactly how to get. Like, I just knew I wanted to go to the San Pedro, this island off the coast. So as soon as I get out of the airport, I walk up to a cab driver. I'm like, "Hey, take me to the water taxis." And he's like, "Okay." So he takes me there and he shows me where it is, and I get on the water taxi. And Traz is here.
Yay!
Traz is here.
We missed you.
Traz, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good. Yeah, I just woke up at 5:45.
So. Oh, that's all right. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, yeah.
Looking dapper as ever.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Traz, when this is just Traz just woke up.
Yeah, no shit, you're late.
So just tell him about real quickly a little adventure on my way. So I get out of the I don't know if this helps. We're about 4 minutes in on your issue for time, but we so
you might not believe this, but my phone's actually dead.
Okay, no worries. You can just, if you want to, like, if you can, you see those, Toronto, you see that time a little bit.
As Traz slowly moves so close, even I could see that, and I'm the oldest guy in the room.
He's basically just been telling us about how he caught HPV in Belize.
Please. How he spread HPV.
80%,
how you brought it to them like smallpox.
Yeah. I just wrapped my cock in a blanket and just put it all over him.
They have condoms down there. Why are you using fleece?
Well, so that he can infect the indigenous people. Come on, get it right.
I can't. I'm sterile, so what do I care? So I get on this water taxi, right? I get to the water taxi, and it's taken me to the island, to San Pedro. And there's a bunch of people on this little boat, you know, and we're going. And we get to this one place, and, like, one person gets off. They throw some supplies, some rice, some Gatorade, stuff like that. And not only a bunch of people get off, so I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't the island. So then we go to this other island, and, like, literally everyone gets off. So I'm like, all right, I guess this is where we get off. Well, I get off, and I start walking around. I'm like, wait. And I see this sign. I'm like, Key Cocker. Oh, that's a fucking different island. Like, I am not on the island I was meant to be on. So I start, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, this island has some stuff going on, too. And I go back, and I'm like, you know, when's the next water taxi? Is there another water taxi leaving to San Pedro tonight? There's one more, 6 o'clock. I said, okay, I got an hour. So I had an hour to decide if I want to stay on this island or go to the other island for tonight. And I'm like, you know, I have some drinks. I'm like, you know what, I want to go to San Pedro. That's where I wanted to go. So if I want to come back, I'll come back to this island. Easy to do. I'm sitting waiting for the water taxi, and I start talking to this girl, and what I find out later is her mother. There's Canadian girls, and from BC, really nice people. But we're on the whole ride over to this other island. We're chatting, and then we get there, and she's like, the young girl. She was like 25. Her name was Cassie. She goes, "Where are you staying?" And I'm like, I have no idea. And she goes, "Well, you should stay at the, you know, we'll just come to the hostel where we're staying. Like, it's a cool place, and it's right by a water taxi, and probably get a bed." Oh, sounds great. So we get off the water taxi. She's like, well, I've got to go to the bank. I got to go hit an ATM and get some cash out. And her mom's like, well, I'm going to go back to the hostel. I'm tired. She goes, do you want to just walk across? You want to come with me to the bank? And then we'll, I just got to get some cash. And then we'll, you know, we'll come, we'll show you the island. I'm like, yeah, it sounds great. And I just go, you do realize you're asking a complete stranger who you just met to walk across a desolate island with you at night to the bank to get money out.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, you don't even know me. And I'm like, God, you Canadians are just fucking way better people than us Americans. You guys are so much better people than we are.
True story.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You're not on. Travis, there you go.
Hey, welcome, world.
Hey, now you're here.
That mom, though, letting her daughter go off?
Mom just bailed. She's just like, cool, go. And I'm like, you guys, you Canadians are such way better people than we are. Because I'm like, you know, I would have like had to put my little fingernail, like fake fingernail, into the drink to mix it around to do that little like roofie test.
Yeah, you know what it is? They're all fucking ninjas. So
they're
she was
ninjas,
not sweating.
Canadian
you.
Ninjas.
She was just not sweating. Yeah.
I think she just hates her daughter, and that
maybe.
Kidnapping is cheaper than abortion.
That's true. Well, yeah, she's like 25. Like, oh God.
Were you
super late term abortion?
Were you wearing a flower on your lapel? You may have. She may have thought you were the contact for the human trafficking.
That's
she was
true.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The it was so. But anyway, I ended up hanging out with Cassie and like all these other people we met. It was just a bunch of people we met. At this hostel, we all kind of were there traveling alone at the same time, and it was a great time. Like I fucking just hung out with this group of people I met, and I actually got to do some comedy while I was down there.
Nice.
Some of the girls I met, I told that we were at this bar, and there was this guy. His name was Tsunami Nick. He was the band leader. And
why are you laughing? That shit's tight.
That's a terrible name.
Tsunami Nick. So I go up to Tsunami Nick in between songs, and I go, Nick, Mr. Tsunami. I go, my name's Deese. I go, I'm here in Belize, as you know. You're here too. We're all here. I go, I'm here with some friends of mine. They're actually a Canadian pop duo, and they're singers. And I go, they're just about to drop their debut album. They've got a hot single that's about to explode in America, and we're down here celebrating. And they really want to sing a song with you.
Oh, no. You're such a dick.
And he goes, oh, yeah, okay, great. He goes, what song do they want to sing? I go, well, they really love the song Uptown Girl by Billy Joel.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, so they go, they go up there, and they're, I get they go up there and they just like completely, they don't even know what to expect. He just calls, I give them their names. I'm like, it's Lauren and Sarah. And like, he calls them up there. He's like, Lauren, Sarah, come up here. Like, I'm like, hey, that's you guys. Go up there. And they like, next thing I know, they're like, they starts going and they like, don't know what to do. He's like, come on, sing. And they're like, they're trying to sing, and they just shit the bed. They're just terrible.
Well, they're Canadian pop singers.
Did they know? Similar in vein to Justin Bieber, I assume. But,
yep.
No, did they know the words at all?
Barely.
Oh, okay.
Barely. And
I assumed this was like the Canadian national anthem.
Billy Joel? Yeah. I'm not sure how big Billy Joel is in Canada. He's not like Rick Moranis.
Come on, Billy Joel is like the musical Alan Thicke.
You think so? So I get up, afterwards they go, so they try and get me back, like, well, Deese does comedy. So they try to tell him, like, he does comedy, he wants to do some comedy.
Oh, nice.
So he goes, okay, and I'm like, please. I'm like, I got this. I'm like, let's do this shit. So Tsunami Nick, I'm not sure if he just didn't like comedy or was just not pleased by my stunt.
I think it's by the latter.
But he goes, Deese is going to come up here and do some comedy. But if he's not funny, I'm going to break his fucking nose. Because I'm going to punch him right in the fucking face. And he like
was
yelling. He's like, I will fucking take my hand and fucking jam his nose into his head and like fucking kill him. I'm like... Like, all right. This
shit.
No pressure.
Yeah.
This was the moment we were worried about, Jay.
Yeah.
Deese did almost die.
Yeah, we knew it was going to happen.
Funny or die, it finally happens.
But I go up there and I just grab the mic. I'm like, thanks, Tsunami Nick. That was the best introduction I've ever gotten. Like, just remind me never to ask you to write my eulogy, okay? But I didn't get my nose broken. Is Deese still intact?
So did he like your
material? Liked it. He laughed. Okay. He laughed. He told the girls. He's like, oh, I like this guy. So
I don't know. I feel
was
like
he intimidating? Did he have like a peg leg? Or
no, he. You know what? He looked like, not many people can get this reference. I guess it's a local thing. But no, he looked, he long, like greasy hair. Oh my God. What's that one guy who is from, Sopranos, one of the guy, not the main guy, one of the guys from Sopranos, but with long hair, like long gray hair. I don't know. Like, what's his name?
Well, that's only like what, a dozen or 12? Yeah, a dozen or two dozen people.
I don't know. I never saw this show. I'm just trying to remember the guy's name.
The image I have in my head is the cartoon character that Dwayne Johnson plays in Moana. Is that at all right?
Oh, you know what? No, that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Okay.
Dang, I haven't seen that movie. I really want to.
It's awesome. It's
the Samoan version of the
Belizean,
the Tasmanian devil, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that sounds pretty scary. That guy.
So the moral of that story is Deese is funny and an asshole in multiple countries.
That's true. Yeah, Tsunami Nick was very... You know, I mean, it's not a gangster name, but it's, hey, in Belize, yeah, it's that's like, I kept calling him, like, I couldn't remember his name, though. I kept calling him, like, Hurricane Nick and, like,
Riptide Nick.
I'm, like, a Tropical Nick. I call him, like,
Tornado.
I kept calling
him
Tornado Nick or, like, all these different names. And they're, like, no, it's Tsunami. And I'm, like, oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
You know, I can't, how do you expect me to, I can't remember all these names.
He said Tornado Nick. We don't even have tornadoes down here.
Like Hurricane Nick. I don't know, man.
His nickname changes depending on how pissed off he is.
Right.
First, he's like, you know, Tropical Depression Nick.
Yeah.
When he gets really upset, then he gets all the way to Tsunami.
That's right.
Tectonic Plate Movement Tom.
Right.
Cat 5 Nick.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was a great trip, though. I have lots and lots and lots of stories. I will get into them again at a late, soon.
Did you get naked with any girls?
That's immediately what you go for.
I mean, if I only had one question.
Listen, define naked. I mean, with girls. Yes.
Even if you
with boys?
I got naked a lot. No, there was a lot of
that was
things.
A weird way to listen, answer Jay's question.
Listen.
We don't want to know about the cavity search. We just want to know if you got laid.
Oh, I did get stopped coming back through customs. I always do. Every single time I travel to a foreign country, mm-hmm. I always get this because I always go to Latin countries. I travel usually alone.
Yeah.
I've been gone for a while and I just have like a tiny backpack
and like a tattoo that says I am a drug mule.
Right. And they're like, there's this little machine you go to when you come in from customs. It's like a little kiosk,
mm-hmm.
and you like put your passport in and put in information, and then like a little camera pops up and takes a picture of you. And literally, like, it took the picture pops up on screen. I'm like, oh God, that like I'm looking at the picture like I'd stop that guy in a heartbeat. Like this guy is coming like I look like swarthy, like I look like a James Bond villain, like ambiguously ethnic. Like, you know, like I don't know what he is, but he's a little
he's something.
Yeah, and like literally it was like Hollywood Squares, like a big X goes across my face and it on the picture and it prints out a thing like this is like like no access, go see an attendant. I'm like,
oh my God.
So
I wonder if the machine determines that, if there's like, you know,
there's
facial points that it's like, or if it's just racist, like it's not white, like go
right.
See.
It's like, go it see. Just says it. It just looks like it has like a sepia tone filter and just figures out your
yeah
your melanin in your skin.
For the record, I in a a good summer have a pretty swarthy tan.
Yeah.
And I'm a teddy bear looking dude, and I just get green lighted every fucking
really?
Time.
See, because I'm like, I grow, when I'm on vacation, like my beard gets a little grown out, so I look a little swarthier looking, and my hair is a little like, you know. And also, though, when I fly, I have this weird thing that I tend to like dress a little nicer when I fly. Mm-hmm. So I was wearing like kind of like a I don't know what I'd call like a Cuban drug lord like polo type thing and
with
like
the fedora,
you know,
with the large.
Yeah, kind of. So like they were, you know, I'm sure, you know, I was all like super tan and just like one backpack, and they're like, yeah, this guy needs, we need to talk to this guy about some things. It's all, and the first question is always, where's all your stuff? What? You've been gone for a very, like, they can see the date you left. Like, mm-hmm. You've been, where's all your stuff? Where, like, this, and like, this is all my stuff. Like, that's all your stuff. You have one tiny backpack. Like, yeah.
The things you own end up owning you, bro.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Just hit them with some meta shit like right. that. Yeah. No, then they're immediately going to frisk you for pot if you answer them.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, all right. But again, I'll get into the weeds on that. We'll in the next few weeks. We'll talk about it. But let's talk to Mark while he's here. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. It's nice to be here finally.
Yeah, nice to have you on. We let's see. Mark has a couple dates coming up. What is it? May 22nd at the Buzz. He'll be hosting a comedy showcase there featuring Steve Johnson, Greg Beechler, Mika Laman, Jessica Watson, and am I missing anyone?
No, that's it.
Oh, I'm fucking pretty good at this.
Good job.
That was zero prep.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I remember things sometimes. And that's going to be probably be a monthly show, it sounds like. Is that right?
Well, right now the owner is totally in for the first month, and he's willing to soft book the second.
Okay.
To see how it goes. He's trying something out, and I'm hell-bent on promoting the hell out of it and making sure we get stuff done. It'd be nice to see comics get to showcase their talent on longer sets and get paid a pittance for their work.
Mm. Right on, yeah. That.
As we usually do. The just it all adds up, all goes into that little kitty there. So Mark is a Mark has a benefit at being a comic because he is also a long haul trucker. So you have the ability to kind of go all over. Tell us a little bit about being able to hit the road and some of the other clubs you've been in, places you've had the opportunity to do comedy.
Well, I'm real fortunate. First of all, I've been in it for just over a year. Actually, my birthday is March 10th. And on my birthday a year ago, I went to Uncle D's for the first time.
Was that place still open last March?
You know what?
Just
I actually
barely.
Was at the
oh,
last
yeah, that was
two
like the last,
open mics.
Yeah, because it closed.
That Uncle D's ever
started
had.
Started April.
And I caught the bug. So driving around the country, with social media
caught
the way.
Bugs at Uncle D's. Oh, that was a common occurrence at Uncle D's.
Well, I heard there was a worm issue in one point, but that's beside the point.
His name's Don.
Yeah. Well, no. With social media being the presence that it is, I get to look ahead and see where I'm going and what's along the route.
Right.
And the more I do that, I hit open mics and showcase shows and get to network with other comics. For instance, I just did two open mic sets in Lubbock. And if I had spent one more day in Texas, they were willing to pay me to do a showcase set. Which tells you something about the lack of talent in certain areas of the country. But it's amazing. I've stood on a stage at the House of Blues in New Orleans.
Wow.
I have gotten to look at the mural of all the people that have been through the Second City in Chicago while they judged me as I did an open mic set.
Nice.
Yeah, that was not unnerving at all. Tina Fey looking at me going, I just don't think so. But I've even got people up in Canada that are like, when are you going to get up toward Calgary so we can get a show going? Mm-hmm. Which once again is obviously a testament to how shallow the talent pool must be in that area.
What's Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're like Canadians.
Seven people.
They're tough as hell, but they're very unfunny.
Yeah.
Isn't Calgary like the Texas of Canada?
Calgary, Canada's Texas.
Canada is like the Texas of Canada. I mean, that's, but no, it's amazing. I get to have a lot of fun. I get the opportunity to work material in so many different areas that you get to see what's really solid everywhere and what only works in Hilliard.
Right.
That's so true.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things you gotta, I mean, it's great to have a local place you call home to do comedy and be able to make it relatable to the people you're doing comedy to, but also you can't do exclusively that, because if you ever do go on the road, you know, that those jokes don't exactly play out in other areas. So you have to have something that, you know, works everywhere. So where's your favorite place you've got to do comedy, besides Spokane, obviously?
You know what? I'd say right now it's kind of tied between the House of Blues in New Orleans and that set in Second City in Chicago, just because of where I was standing, you know, kind of the history behind those particular stages.
Yeah.
But I think the most fun I had was doing just a little cabaret set opening for the winner of the Clean Comedy Award in Alabama when I was laid over in Florida for a weekend.
Yeah.
You did a clean comedy show?
I did I actually cleaned up a set just for this guy so that I didn't. Because, you know, you just can't drop 15 F-bombs and use the word cocaine cock before the clean comic comes up. It doesn't go over well.
No.
Yeah. It doesn't go over real well. That's hard. You know, that's one of the things I've had a couple people approach me about a clean comedy show. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't. There's no way. Like, I've got nothing that would. That's like, I've had to do like GG shows. I'm like, I can't. Like, I'm not Brian Regan or like Jeff Dunham by any means. Like, I can't do it.
I have a lot of respect for clean comics, though. It's not that I think that dirty comedy is less witty, but I do think it pushes you to try more unique topics and outlooks. Because there's definitely, like, easy, like, fart and dick joke comedy. And so I do respect clean comics in that regard.
Oh, no, there's definitely a talent to it. But I have, like, I have no context for clean comedy.
Cause, well, because you're you.
Because I'm me.
Because
I'm disgusting. I'm a dead human
He's
being.
A swarthy, dead, morally bankrupt.
Right.
Drug mule from Belize. Yeah. What do you want?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, what are you gonna? How do you rectify that? But I know I just like I don't have like a wife. I don't have kids. I don't have a good relationship with my family. Like I've no context of like anything that isn't just.
It's like the profile of a serial killer, basically.
Yeah. I've got dead kitten heads and
all of his neighbors said he
bed.
Was quiet and kept to himself.
Yeah. yeah. It was, you know, well, what are you going to do? So the, tell us about getting on at Second City. What was the process of doing the open mic there? I mean, how?
Well, like anywhere else, you get on social media and look at the different, like, I just type in the name of the city in stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you find somebody that has access to the open mic list, like everyone knows we have in pretty much any outlet. And you find out what's required. I start messaging people days in advance so that I know I've got a spot. Because for me, park a 70-foot big rig in downtown Chicago and go to the Second City. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm renting a car or I'm taking an Uber. In some cases, I didn't do a set in New York because it was an $80 ride each way to get to a club. I'm not paying $160 to do a free set for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I just can't do that.
Yeah. Well, it's different if it's like an audition for something, but in New York especially, and there's so many clubs in New York where you have to pay to get on or you'll spend hours and maybe not even get on, things like that. So it's like, yeah, you've got to really, there's going to be some sort of potential return on that investment where like $180 for a 3 minute set that's going to give you zero back. It's, yeah.
Especially if you're not like having any intention of staying in New York, that would just be a waste.
Now, on the flip side, though, sometimes weird shit happens and works out. I was near Riverside, California. I took a $5 Uber to an open mic set that it was 15 minutes. And a fight breaks out in the middle of my set. I'm 3 minutes in.
Weird. In Riverside?
And this,
let me guess. It was a methed out Mexican stabbing a cracked out Mexican?
No, it was this homeless lady that was...
I've been to Riverside.
The lady running the mic looks at me and she says, "Do you want to stop and start over?" I'm like, hell no. I did commentary
on
the fight.
As like, nobody's breaking this up, you're just...
Yeah, it's like, ding. Oh, and it's a left, it's a right. Oh, geez, a tit came out. Watch out, she's swinging three things. I kept the whole room... I kept enough attention that as soon as the fight was broken up, they all turned right back to me and I finished the set.
Yeah.
Nice.
The next night, I got invited to somebody else's show at the Improv, got networked in with another guy, and ended up doing two sets for $10 and hot wings over the course of the next couple of days.
Wait, $10 and hot wings or $10 in hot wings, like $10 worth of hot wings?
Yes and yes.
Okay. Or $10 hidden in the hot wings and you have to find them with your mouth.
It was two different shows, and frankly, you had to eat the hot wings within a certain time limit. I don't know if the comedy show and that competition were linked, but...
Sounds like a good time. I can do that. I love some hot wings.
That sounds really good right now.
It does sound good right now, actually. I love hot wings.
Everybody else has the munchies, don't you?
Yeah, speaking of munchies and Monica's munchies, is there a hot wing place in Spokane now? Did I hear about that?
A hot wing place.
Wait, what's the one?
There is a Buffalo Hot Wings in town.
Well, there's Buffalo Wild Wings.
Wild Wings.
Oh, no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I heard that there's like a new... Anyway, sorry for the side tangent.
A new wing place in Spokane?
Not that I know.
Where?
I don't know. I don't know any of the details, but I just saw somebody on Facebook be like, oh, my coworkers like needed this, and they brought in like... And it was like all these different flavors and stuff.
Oh, shit. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it, Mark. We're bringing up hot wings. Now we're all hungry.
Damn it. I would like to apologize. I'm not gonna, but someday I'd like to. Yeah. I'd like to care enough that it mattered.
Someday.
You know?
Okay.
Someday.
Huh. Buffalo Wild Wings. Now I'm looking up. I don't see anything.
this podcast went completely off the rails. Somebody mentioned hot wings and everybody else.
That was a mistake.
I do Buffalo Wild Wings. I hate Flamin' Joe's, though.
Why?
I fucking hate Flamin' Joe's.
You homophobe.
I fucking hate those people. Why is that homophobic?
They got a purple logo, man.
And Flamin' Joe's, I always thought it was... not a gay bar?
Flamin' Joe's?
Now you're the homophobe.
Wow. Okay.
Next week
on the Social Hour, we'll be investigating Jay's odd penchant for homophobia.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Okay, sorry. Please continue.
Wow.
Just brush over that.
This got called homophobe because I don't like a wing place. That's new. Listen. I've got lots of friends who have sucked dick. They're girls, but I got nothing wrong with it. Yeah, gays are great. They make neighborhoods way better. They bring up property value. True story. I think we should subsidize the gays. I do. Honestly, I think it should be a government subsidized program. There's places in LA that were shitholes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you go to Echo Park area and things like that used to be just complete dumps, or Silverdale in just gang infested dumps. The gays moved in. It's fucking fabulous now. The place
fabulous.
Is amazing. It's literally amazing. You go from Hollywood to West Hollywood. It's two different cities, actually, and it literally, I think La Brea is the street that splits them north-south.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the one side of, that yellow dotted line in the middle of La Brea, everything on the east side of it is a fucking crack, meth, hooker, drug needle-infested piece of shit. You go on the other side of that street, it's just shining and pristine. So they call it Boys Town. It's all gay guys. But it's fucking amazing. Like they fucking make everything great, and here's the deal. Gay guys generally don't have kids. They have disposable income. They're good with their money. They don't commit crimes.
They're handy. They're still men.
They're handy.
Does anybody else notice that he's describing most of his character traits?
It's true. I've always said I'm only gay because I've never sucked a dick yet. I'm only not gay because I've never sucked a dick yet. But there's still time.
I caught the Freudian slip there, but go ahead, Deez.
There's actually West Hollywood has their own Yellow Pages. There's like a lawyer, and it's just like a shirtless guy with abs on a motorcycle. like I'll fight for you.
you know, I got a lot of respect for a lot of gay people are so comfortable with who they are, though.
Yeah.
The best man at my wedding is one of the gayest men I've ever known. He gets out of this hick town in California in a purple, shiny jumpsuit.
Yes.
And stopped traffic in the middle of this entire town. I thought it was fabulous. He's like, you know what? Fuck them. I'm going to be who I am. And you got to respect that.
Totally. Did he look good? Because I feel like no one looks good in a purple jumpsuit.
You know what?
Huggy Bear does.
He pulled it off. He pulled it off.
Okay, well, good
mean,
for him.
I mean, literally, he started to strip right there in the middle of the...
Maybe that's what stopped the traffic.
It could be. Yeah. Could be. Oddly enough, the only gay person I know that has six children that are biologically theirs, I always ask him, are you sure you understand what being gay is supposed to be about?
Yeah, you know, you're allowed to go back. You know, you can jump back and forth, I guess. So, I don't know.
Six kids, huh?
Gay and extremely fertile. All I can think is, man, who is he walking by that just walking, brushing past them got them pregnant?
Right.
I know a couple gay guys with kids, actually.
Yeah.
I think they just figured out later, or, you know, they were in that era where it wasn't as acceptable. So they, like, just, like, through high school, you know, and they were Mexican, so of course they crapped out kids in early age. And, you know, they're like, gosh, I don't even want these kids. I don't even want this girl. They go, I want guys. And then, there you go. You have a kid. So
tough times.
Tough time would be. That sounds terrible with the whole kid thing.
They just got all drunk and accidentally hooked up with a chick.
Yeah,
and then she got pregnant.
It's
like fuck.
Oh wait a
double
minute!
Double fuck.
That was
shitty for
anal.
So many reasons.
Holy crap!
Yeah. I wonder if it felt so different. All right. Let's see. Mark, anything else you got? What else you got going on? Anything else you want to promote or talk about?
Well,
before
I've
we move
got,
on to the news.
I've got the thing on the 22nd. We've got a soft booking for the same event on June 19th.
Okay.
But July 14th in Rockford, Washington, I'm lucky enough that Harry Riley is going to headline for me, and Steve Johnson is going to be the feature act at the Harvest Moon in Rockford, Washington.
All right. That's going to be a great show.
I'm really excited about it. They decided that we weren't so horrible that they were willing to have us back. So
nice. Very nice. Whoops. Oh. Someone's here.
That was weird.
Hello.
Southwest Airlines.
That is exactly that sound.
All right. Well, guys, and go to Spo Comedy. That's SPO, then comedy with a K. You can follow all the events happening locally to Spokane. Mark's events will be on there. The drink and debate, comedy confessions, everything happening these days. So follow that, and you can see what's happening. You can also follow Mark. Mark on Twitter, Facebook. Tell people where to find you.
You can get me on Twitter and Instagram at TruckerMarkM.
Okay.
All one word. And you can find me on Facebook at Mark Morris Comedy.
All right. There you go. So find him, follow him, check out all his stuff. If you're, if you're outside of Spokane where the show is recorded, Mark does travel a lot, so you might catch him in one of your cities. So follow him and you might get to see him live. He does a great job live. He did our show last night at Riddler's, and he killed. So
yeah, you did. That was awesome.
So,
I carry knives. It helps.
Yeah. All right. Jay, you ready with the news?
Let's do it.
All right.
It's time for the consensual news with Jay. She's going to tell you what's going on in the world today. Propaganda time, so let's fist pump. Celebrity in sports and Donald Trump. Jay wants old people gone. And this is the end to her new song.
Every time it's so painful to watch the guest reaction as they're like, what the fuck is this song about? Jay's just ageism.
Jay's ageism.
I'll admit, I feel a little bit of pedophilia going on right now.
That's just how you feel. All right, we get it, Jay.
I like him young.
That's just how you feel. That's how you feel.
Okay, so do you guys remember a couple weeks ago when there was the Facebook Live killer? His girlfriend broke up with him, and so then he murdered that dude. So
I think we had a big argument about it last
week. We did. So recently in San Diego, a shooter, a new, completely different person, was despondent over a breakup. His girlfriend broke up with him. So he entered a pool area where some people were having a birthday, and then he just indiscriminately started shooting at them, which is like, fuck you, man. It's a birthday. Like, it's already bad enough that you're shooting people enjoying time at a pool, but a birthday also. So then at some point during the shooting, this man, Peter Solis, I guess is how you say his name, takes a seat in a lounge chair. Probably somebody was else using the seat too, which is kind of another dick move. Pulls out his cell phone and he calls his ex-girlfriend and he's like, "Hey, I shot two people." Some variety of that. And so he keeps her on the cell phone as he continues shooting people. And so it just brings up to me, like, why? When somebody breaks up with you, why is that your first reaction? Like, I'm going to show her.
Yeah, you know,
I'm going to go murder a whole bunch of people. Then she'll realize, oh, I shouldn't have broke up with her.
That's not our first reaction. That was Peter Scalise's first reaction.
And this other gentleman, you know what? And many of you men think alike.
I've got my position on this is, unfortunately, we've live in a society now where we want the most salacious and juicy things. And we thrive off of this type of thing. Our society does, and the news does, especially mm-hmm. in the 24-hour news cycle. We have to have something to talk about, and mm-hmm. we need some sort of like constant like terror and fear to keep people like, you know, always like head on a swivel.
Oh, absolutely.
My position would be, don't give any of these people coverage. Stop announcing any of this shit on the fucking news ever again. Like, don't fucking talk about it. Don't put it out there. Facebook should have, like, as soon as this thing went up, should have, like, you know, canned the video and, like,
I think they tried to, but then, you know, people sharing
it's
and stuff.
It's hard once it goes out there. Mm-hmm. You know, but basically functionally retarded. I don't understand how Facebook works. I don't get the internet. It's a series of tubes.
That's the oldest thing you've said.
Once you crank it up and it starts to go.
Yeah. I just put in my AOL disk and I can get in a chat box and talk to people in the Philippines. They've got to have an algorithm to know mm-hmm. where they're tracking who shares what. I mean, fucking, when your computer is off, Google is still pulling mm-hmm. 175 points of information off your computer. When your computer is fucking off, you can't tell me that Facebook can't find out where these videos are being shared on whose pages. And if people want to like share these videos, mm-hmm. just fucking shut down their Facebook. Fuck them. You know,
yeah.
It's like when people share the beheading stuff, like when the first ISIS beheading happened. Well, not the first one, but the first one that was like televised or they mm-hmm. put out there like about a year and a half ago to maybe longer now. And people were sharing it around and someone's like, "Do you want to see that? Like, you should watch this." I'm like, I don't need to fucking see that. Like, I think I have an idea what it looks like and I probably don't want to see it, you know.
Do you think seeing something like that is more effective at mobilizing change, though, than just hearing about it?
So
Donald Trump said that he decided to bomb Syria after he witnessed footage of the chemical strike and seeing these kids in this chemical strike. So do you think him seeing that versus him hearing it?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I think that's a different story. If you're in a position of military power mm-hmm. where you have to have checks and balances and counter actions against things like mm-hmm. that, you have to have a little more visual. You have to have eyes on what's actually happening.
Yeah.
But like, ISIS beheads people all the time. To see that doesn't make people want to stop it more. It's just people who want to just see shit. They don't care. Like, who's your average? How many people saw the ISIS beheadings? And how many people do you think have actually fucking done anything?
That's fair.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I kind of disagreed with you. Like, I think that if there was, like, a legitimate, like, terrorist organization that was causing all of these problems and, like, just everyday Joe people did get to see the actual footage, then it makes it so much more real. And mm-hmm. so that would mobilize people. But I think in America, we effectively have a system where it's like ISIS is killing all these people, but it's like you can't really do shit about it. So you just, if you are that person that's watching the video, you're not being radicalized to fight ISIS. You're just like a voyeur that's watching.
Yeah, exactly. It's a voyeur. I think the people who are going to do something about anything are going to do it. Like, you seeing it doesn't do anything for them. Like, you're just, they're just watching it to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Americans are lazy pieces of shit. We don't want to fucking do anything. We just want to turn a blind eye, have a veil of safety, and, you know, just, hit the next rollback at Walmart, you know, 2 for $20 at Applebee's or whatever. We don't actually want to affect it. Like, we want to bitch about everything, but not have to do anything.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know? So but back to the original point, I want these to stop giving these people any press.
Because well, do you think they're doing it for the press? Because they're going after their girlfriends and sharing it with their girlfriends. 100%. So you think it's absolutely more about the press than their girlfriends?
He's trying to impress his girlfriend.
You act like this is something new. I mean, Van Gogh cut off an ear because I'm going to show that bitch.
Yeah.
The only difference is now it's so much more quickly visible.
It's publicized.
I mean, some of us grab a gun and go shoot a bunch of people. Some of us grab a microphone and emasculate our ex on stage. Yeah. I mean,
there you go.
Well, see, I just wish these motherfuckers would have the balls to just, what happened to good old fashioned suicide? Just fucking kill yourself and get it over with. But the like going out and killing other people is a fucking such a pussy move. I hate that shit. You have the balls to fucking kill yourself. I don't care if you want to kill yourself. I hope you do. Mm-hmm. You're one less person in traffic on my way to work. That's, you know, the... But don't this shit where you're just going out, especially they're unrelated people. Like, he didn't even go kill his girlfriend or his girlfriend's mom.
Right, exactly.
He killed, like, random people.
That would make more sense.
At least there's, like, a chain where you're like, okay, I can wrap my head around this. But now you're just being a fucking douchebag, a piece of shit. Like,
they just somebody else's life.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
But they're only doing it because they're like, hey, I'm going to get the X amount of notoriety. Like, people are going to know that I did this. If we give them no press, what is their benefit of doing it? They're not, it's the spotlight they get that makes them want to do it.
Cause he's like, you broke up with me. No, this is what happens when you do that. And she's going to, in his head, she's like always going to have to live with that.
Right.
Well, and he did basically tell her, he's like, these deaths are on your hands. Yeah. So he's wanting her to feel guilty about that forever.
What happened to him?
Suicide by cop again.
Perfect. I love it. Good. Kill him. Kill him.
That's how it always ends. But
you know what? And where did this happen?
That was in San Diego.
See, and everybody knows Southern California police need more target practice anyway. Yeah. So that works out.
I feel shitty for the families, the people that were killed, for absolutely no reason. I feel 100% happy that they shot and killed him. I'm super excited about that. I wish that happened more. Fuck the trials. If you obviously killed someone, we've witnessed it. There's no like cutting. There's no like, listen, you weren't mind controlled. There's no shadow of doubt. You killed these people. Just fucking kill them. I'm 100% okay with that.
Well, and usually it seems to end up that way anyways, since they're armed, dangerous, and they don't want to go in.
Right. Good.
And they're saving us all so much money.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring up another. I mean, it's Jay's news stories, but it's like, you know, they stopped a whole bunch of executions because they're afraid the drugs are going to be cruel and inhumane.
Right. Because
it's like, you know what? Just give the guy a bullet in the first place and we don't have to worry about that shit.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, too.
Well, okay. So I used to be pro death penalty because we spend millions of dollars each, actually more than that, each year housing inmates, but it's actually, at least with our current system, it's more expensive to execute an inmate than it is to keep them in prison.
That's
for
based
life
on false economics, though, because killing somebody only costs like 3 cents in a bullet.
Well, the main reason that it's so expensive is because, one, they're sitting on,
they're doing medical insurance, they're dealing with medical insurance
and the court, like, systems, because there's a process of appeals that you
you have unlimited appeals in America's court system.
Yeah, that's why I usually sit on death row for 15 to 20 years.
Which I also think is bullshit.
Well, but think about all the people exonerated with DNA evidence.
It's not a lot. It's really small, actually. Like, most people that are on death row are, like, fucking scumbag murderers. And there's, like, that one guy. And that sucks, but...
Yeah, so there's a small percentage of it.
It's definitely getting better now that our technology is improving. But if you look at people who were sitting on death row from the 80s and the 70s, many of them... The evidence was a little wonky, and it was more they were convicted on hearsay. So if you think about all the people who possibly were wrongly executed.
Yeah, but most of those people are like the 18-year-olds in the child system. They're about to age out anyway. They're going to die from natural causes. So we don't need to worry about that percentage for very much longer.
Yeah, we got into this deep last week. We don't have time for it again this week, but the... Yeah, I mean, I really, there is a percentage of people who are, you know, mistaken, and that's unfortunate.
It's like a shitty side effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably unavoidable.
I do think it's getting better, though, now that technology
is. Yeah, it is getting better, but I wish our death penalty worked faster. These people, listen, when you commit heinous crimes and murder people out of cold blood and things like that, I have no fucking use for you anymore. Like I'm done. I'm done. You made your choice. Like you've made your choice, and I don't. These people who go in and then they get better health care than most of the people on the outside. Fucking people want to. Oh, I want to be a girl now. Cut my dick off from the state pays for this shit. Fuck that, dude. That shit happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Once you go to prison, if you're on the outside and you want to have a sex change, go nuts. I don't care. You can do whatever you want to do. But once you've given up those rights and are going to prison, fuck you.
Like, can you get a full blown sex change?
Yes, California.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, California did it last year.
That's fucking crazy.
All kinds of shit.
Here's the thing.
If I was in prison, though, I would fucking get a sex change and I'd be like, yo, I identify as a girl with a dick. Send me to the girl prison.
I don't know if that's going to work out. Okay. So the next story I have for you guys. Did you follow the White House Correspondence Center at all?
I did not. I caught some tidbits afterwards. But
okay, so that basically is an event that...
Oh, I know of it.
For the first time in 36 years, a president hasn't attended, which I think is really hilarious. Because, you know, it's a fun event where people get together, celebrities, media outlets, and then they... finally kind of let loose, and there's like a roasting style, I guess,
right?
But Trump is so fucking thin-skinned that he wouldn't go, and the last time a president didn't go, it was Ronald Reagan, and that was because he'd just been shot a few weeks earlier.
Pussy.
And was still recovering.
Fuck yeah, pussy.
So
I don't blame Trump, dude. I don't want to go to a party with a bunch of fucks that don't like me and are gonna be mean to me.
Suck it the fuck up, though.
No,
you're the
commander
in chief.
I'll be like, fuck
chief.
You guys. I'm rich as shit. I'm gonna go do something awesome tonight.
Yeah, so he went to go a jack off fest in Pennsylvania with a whole bunch of his fans who would just stroke his ego. Then instead,
yeah but you could follow
you
that live. You can follow that live on Twitter, though. So I mean, it's not like you missed out on everything. Yeah.
No. I watched both of them, but I thought it was really funny. There was a quote for it. He was like, I couldn't be thrilled to be more than 100 miles away with a much larger crowd and much, much better people. Why the fuck does he care so much about crowd size?
Oh, yeah, it's a popularity thing. He's because he is at heart, he's a celebrity.
He is, you know?
So his idea of self-worth comes from the crowd in front of him. He's also a raging narcissist, but anyone who runs for president is. I mean, anyone who has ran or has been president is a fucking narcissist in some way. You have to be a little bit fucking of a narcissist to want to run the country. That's just I feel like
he's a diagnosable narcissist.
Oh no, for sure. Some people more than others, but any president we've had or anyone who's run for president is a fucking narcissist or fucking very self-absorbed, very like cocky if they think they can be president. That's not a humble job. You have got to be pretty full of yourself to do that.
But he's 100 days into his presidency, and if you're going to be president, you're gonna have to deal with hard situations. You're going to have to deal with foreign leaders who don't like you, with the public who oftentimes won't like you, and so if you can't even handle a roast,
it is
Donald Trump's not just like. I read this article that this old lady wrote, and she's like, "Look, I've seen every president since like fucking."
Lincoln.
Yeah, exactly. she's like, dude, I've never seen a president have to go through so much bullshit. Like, every fucking move scrutinized and, like, celebrities just being like, you're a fucking asshole. And it's like,
I mean,
dude,
is she.
That sucks,
are
man.
Celebrities not right to say he's an asshole, though? If you act like an asshole, people are going to call you on being an asshole.
Okay, I'm nonpartisan, and I got to tell you, the whole bombing Syria thing, if he hadn't done anything, they'd have roasted him for not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he did something, and they roasted him for that. The fact of the matter is we do have a guy in office that there is never going to be any right thing that he can do to a certain group, I mean, to a large group of the American population.
Well, here's the deal, and I am not a supporter of Trump at all. I think he's a fucking idiot. I don't, you know, 100% not a supporter of Trump. But I will say this. Any president is going to get attacked by the other side a lot, granted, you know, and that's going to be very vocal. You know, there was a lot of hate against Obama while he was in office and the things he was doing from the other side. Mm-hmm. Now it's the left's turn to dump all over the president. And they're going to, just like when Bush was in office and when Clinton was in office, they were dumping
it's
all
over. It's just the pendulum swinging back
and forth.
I
see a little bit of a difference, though. Like with George Bush, that guy was like heavily scrutinized and criticized by the anti-war left. Who I actually super supported, and I think they kind of bitched out on Obama, but that's a side tangent. But the criticisms for George Bush were like, hey, man, you're making really poor decisions for our country, and we don't like that. And that's way different than being like, you're a fucking fuck, and your wife's this, and your kid's that, and you're fucking orange.
Well,
like,
he is also part of the problem is, again, he is not a politician. He's coming from a place of celebrity where he was involved and embedded in the celebrity world before he became the president. And he's not a politician by any means. These other people are politicians who come into the spotlight. He was someone who's in the spotlight and then became the president. So I feel like people think they have more leeway because he's not presidential either. They can it's like calling just some guy on the street an asshole instead of calling some guy who comes out of the a stretched limo. That guy you're less likely to call an asshole because he looks nice and is well put together. Trump just looks like a fucking idiot.
I'm the only non-millennial in the room, and I gotta say, in 45 years, I don't think I've ever seen it so bad in the country. That used to be where we could at least agree to disagree. Now, if you don't believe exactly what I believe, that you're defective, you're horrible, you're an asshole, you're a prick.
I don't think it has to be like that. Like, had Mike Pence been the president instead of Donald Trump, I wouldn't agree with his policies, but I would respect him as an adult and as a politician. But I think Donald Trump's platform was so run on this unhinged hate, and it really kind of exposed this nasty underbelly of America. Well, when you have people quoting things like lock her up, build the wall, like saying hate speech, like calling people bitches and the N-word, and this hate against immigrants and Mexicans, I don't think there's ever been such a hate-filled campaign.
And I don't disagree with what you're saying, and I'm not a Trump fan either.
Yeah.
But I'm saying in general, it doesn't even have to be about a political thing. That's the attitude that's happening a lot more, and it's kind of scary.
Well, a big part of it is with the, as technology increases, we now have, Bush, when Bush was in office, the president didn't Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The president wasn't on Facebook. Those things weren't as huge as they are now. Now you can hear everyone. Everyone can voice their opinion on 12 different platforms 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times, even in Obama's early presidency and all of Bush's presidency and prior presidents to that, most of the people had no way to voice their opinion. So they probably had a lot of the same thoughts that are being expressed now.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no one knew it because you couldn't get it out. No one could, when Clinton was in office, you couldn't get on the internet and tweet to Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go at Donald J. Trump. Hey, you're a fucking douche nozzle. And
hashtag the real POTUS.
Yeah.
So that it's a different world too.
That's fair.
And so everyone has that voice now, and everyone feels the right, like Mark said, that they are right, and that they have, and not that they don't have the right to voice it, but everyone feels so, convicted in their retarded thoughts. and that they all want to voice them, and they all want to have their opinion and feel like they are the end all and be all. So that's,
That's mind blowing what you just said right there. And I totally agree with you. But I also think that because people are just sending a tweet to at Donald Trump, that there's a level of fakeness, it's not real. It's like you're just talking shit to some internet idea.
Right.
But it's not an internet idea. That's actually a fucking dude with a fucking life that's running our fucking country.
Right.
It's the ultimate evolution of all the world's a stage.
I doubt he reads most of the tweets back at him just because they're,
because he can't hold the phone because his hands are so small.
I thought that's why he married Melania, right?
Yeah. You hold the phone.
Will you hold this for me? Now tweet this.
Are you still talking about his phone?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to, let's just do the two. I think we got to go. So, All right, and that's the news with Jay, the consensual news.
Okay.
All right, well, we have come to the end of the show. But real quickly before we go, we are going to close with our regular final segment of the show as usual, guys. And that is the part where we say nice things about each other. So, Mark, we do this at the end of every show because we started in the start of 2017 because there can be a lot of things said on this show, vitriol, some anger, sometimes we argue, but we want to end it on a good note. So we go around, we say nice things about each other, okay? So
it's pretty cool. Yeah. I have actually thought about this in advance because I am a listener of the show.
Oh, perfect. So you were prepared.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Dang, I was waiting for a heartwarming speech towards each of us.
Well,
5 minutes each.
Yeah. I'll go first. Traz?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your diligence. Happy about your diligence and all you do for the show. And also, once again, your always unique perspective on the political landscape. I can't say this enough about the way this unique view you have on things, whether it's economics or politics, and your vast knowledge on things. Always impresses me.
Right on. Thank you, man.
Mark, thank you for coming on. You're a fantastic guest. Thank you for bringing a new vibe to the comedy scene and all your hustle you've been doing. Put on some great shows. And I, you know, continue to keep doing it, man. We need people who are out there working and putting stuff on and, you know, out there trying to build new things. We had a lot of people just coasting for a long time, so it's nice to get people who are working at it and actually trying to make something happen.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Jay, you look lovely.
Jab you every week. I'm more than just a body.
No, Jay, I love your mind. I love you. Thank you for always bringing your very unique perspective also. And although I think people feel like we disagree on a lot of things, we probably agree more than we actually disagree.
You devil's advocate a lot.
I do. see, you know me. That's why I love you. So I thank you for all you do for the show. And I am excited to see you perform tonight. So I hope I can make it there.
Yeah, I hope you can make it too.
And thank you for being a part of the show.
Yeah, go for it. Start off with Mark. Man, you're awesome. I really like your perspective on things. Like, you've got like a, you know, like you said, you're the only non-millennial in here. And so I like your like mature, seasoned opinion on things. And I think that, yeah, seriously. And I think that you're an awesome guy. You know, when I first started coming around, like, the comic scene a little bit, like, you really went out of your way and like to come over and say hi to me and talk to me. And like, I really appreciated that. It's like, you're a really friendly guy. And you're super funny. Like, thanks for coming into the piano bar last night and entertaining everybody. We had like a super fun time, so I was stoked. And it's like, you are a huge part of that. You bring that like teddy bear energy, and I love it. Let's see, Jay.
Thank you.
you look good. yeah, thanks for being so entertaining. I'm excited to see you tonight.
Aww, you're coming tonight?
Yeah, of course. Queens of Comedy. Heck, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't miss it.
Hells yeah.
But yeah, you're hilarious. Like, you've been coming to the piano bar and stuff like that and coming to say hi to me, and it just cracks me up every single time. I saw you on your birthday.
Yeah, woo! I was a bottle of wine deep. Did you like my art?
I did like your art.
It was
balls.
Good.
So, yeah,
yep,
that was really
you.
Cool. Yeah, you brightened my day.
Aww, thanks.
Every time
babe.
I see you, it's awesome. Deez, thanks for being the man, dude. You're like a modern day Spokane James Bond. you're just you're a mover and a shaker. You're always putting things together, making things happen, bringing people together, looking fancy while you do it, going on cool vacations, fucking being an adult, having a job, buying shit. It's like, dude, welcome to America, dude. You're the man.
Thank you. I try. Welcome to America. Hey, I was born here.
I guess.
Were you though?
Hey, welcome to our country.
We'd like to see the birth certificate.
This is the kind of immigration we need more of, guys, right here.
Yeah.
I guess that makes it my turn. You know what, Deez? Thanks for what you do for the scene. I think
Thank you.
You help us be more interested in elevating what we're doing by putting it out into the community in a whole new way, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Traz, you know what, dude? You're like a really cool, laid-back, positive energy kind of a guy.
Thank you.
And I really respect your insight. I mean, you're a very articulate, intelligent dude, and I like that.
Right on. Appreciate it.
And the lovely Jay, yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but we worked across from each other at the Blue Door for auditions, and you made me feel so included.
Aww.
And I was contributing at a very early stage in me doing all of this. Mm-hmm. And I have always appreciated and enjoyed that aspect of you. So
yeah, I really enjoyed working with you on that too. Okay, so Trez, as always, it is so fun debating with you. You always make really great points on the contrary, and I feel like you push me to think in ways that I probably normally wouldn't. Also, love coming in and seeing you at your work. I think you're really feeding my alcoholism, so that's great.
Yeah, Trez actually
created a cocktail inspired by me last week. It's called the White Privilege. It's it's equal parts, I believe, rum chata and pumpkin spice vodka. Yep. And an unearned sense of entitlement. It's basically like a liquefied Ivanka Trump. So thank you
Welcome. Thank you for coming up with the name. It's been a big hit, that shot.
Oh, have you been selling that?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, people love it. They hear the name, they die.
Give me the white privilege. That's awesome. Mark, yeah, I remember meeting you at D's, like right before it closed, and just thinking you were this incredible energy, that you were really fun. You know, you were new, but you still had a really great comedic spirit about you. Like, I could see it, that you were going to be in it for the long run. We get people all the time at open mics, and a lot of people will kind of like fall off or just go once or twice. But I love that you've stuck with it, and you're actually like, you're into it now, and you're already creating your own showcases. Like, that's awesome. So I'm really excited to see what you do with those rooms. And then Deuce, welcome back. I missed you.
Yes.
I missed you too. Traz and I were thinking about all the horrible ways you were going to die in Belize, and I never would have thought it was about with Tsunami Nick.
That was one way.
But had you died, I would have wanted it to be, sure, Tsunami Nick.
If you would have heard that story, you've been like,
that makes sense.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. So I'm so happy to have you back. I'm happy that you brought HPV to Belize, mm-hmm, and that the kilo of coke didn't explode in your asshole. So
no,
it's good to have you home, sweetie.
Nose.
So true.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out for another episode. Next week we have Tony Russell's going to be here,
and an author. I just finished his book, actually. Well,
author.
Him and Devin's book.
Yep. Promotional partner. We've been working on some bunch of stuff together, so I'm happy to have him in. We're going to talk about a couple things him and I come out with each other. He will be on the show next week, so look forward to that. Also, guys, this Sunday at Riddler's. That was really hard. At Riddler's Piano Bar, we're doing the next Social Hour Comedy Showcase. Jay is going to be hosting that.
Yeah.
So come check her out.
Yeah.
She's going to be hosting the show. We've got Michael Glatzmeyer headlining, Freddie Walker, D. Abrams, Mika Laman, Tom Meisford, and Ken McComb are going to be on the bill. That is going to be
a
fantastic. Yeah. That's a great lineup, yeah. Definitely go check that out. Especially Tom doesn't come out much anymore, and he is a hoot. So that guy, go check it out. That's a free show. That's every Sunday at Riddler's. That's going to be the next one. And of course, CJ, because she's going to be hosting. She's going to kill it.
Yeah, guys, come out and support. We'll do a white privilege shot together.
Yeah, I put my show in Jay's hands because I trust her. If you don't want to do that, come to the drinking debate at the Spokane Comedy Club, which I will be also. And
don't do it. He has HPV.
Yeah, that's true. What else? /PantsPenny. Check out all the shows on the network. And soon, you're going to be able to get We're working that out. We're gonna have our own beer. Oh, yeah. So we're gonna have our own drink and debate beer. You can
come visit me at the piano bar, and I'll get you drunk.
Perfect.
We'll
have some white privilege.
White privilege. All right. Wait, no, please don't do please that little audio clip.
Please tell me you captured that on audio.
Oh, you goddamn right.
God damn it.
So
I regret everything I've ever said.
I've had a lot of Jay regretting things too. Okay. All right, guys. Well, for the social hour, I am Deese, and for Traz, Jay, and Mark, thank you guys.
Bye, world.
And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Rick Moranis, Tsunami Nick, Drug Mules, James Bond Villains, all of Riverside, California, Brian Regan, and Gay Motorcycle Lawyers. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
White privilege.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!